JP, you sort out a couple more wags and get the teams for them.
Sure thing.
Dean had been standing apart from the others. Now he moved to stand by his father.
That mean I gotta say goodbye to everyone? Maybe for a year or so? That's like forever.
Wrong, Dean. When you get a little older, you'll know that forever is forever.
I don't want no education. I do all right without it.
But you'll do so much better with it, dear boy. Wisdom is power. The pen is mightier than the sword.
Next time we face a gang of stickies, I'll keep the Uzi, and you can have a drawing pencil, Doc.
I know what you mean. Oh, I'm a real stoop with no book learning. Never had time when I was with Rona. Just had to keep moving the whole time.
Ryan placed his hand on the lad's shoulder.
Right. And that's just what's happening here with us, son. No time to stop and breathe. No time to look at a book or smell a flower. Or just go for a walk for the joy of it. That's what Mr. Brody's school could give you.
What if I hate it?
Then you send word. Shout loud and we here. Might take time, but we're here. And come for you.
Ho! It's time.
Meet us somewhere around Fair Play in 2 or 3 days.
Right.
There was a final round of hugs and handshakes. Then Dean scrambled towards the bed of the ramshackle wag, followed by his father. Yeah.
Damn!
The upright piano had been manufactured by Gottstein of Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Ryan knew that because it said so in a convoluted golden Gothic script just above the keyboard. It was made of mellow beech, ornamented with inset maple, and had obviously been constructed sometime before Skydark. He was sitting on the rear of the wag with Dean, squeezed in by the piano, perched behind Lemuel, who was in charge of whipping up his team of 8 mules whenever they got slow. Yeah! Dean spat a peach pit out the back of the rig. He had the resilience of youth and was in good spirits now, an hour out of the build.
There'd be lots of boys in the school, Dad?
Probably.
No stupid girls?
I don't know. Lemuel?
Yo.
Are there girls at the Brody school?
Wouldn't know. They'd set off the main trail a distance. I believe they got their own gardens and farm and crops. Keep themselves to themselves. Heard Brody had been ill. That was a good few weeks ago. Probably fine by now. Up, you bastards!
He's good with that whip, isn't he, Dad?
Take the balls off a skeeter at 20 paces with it.
Can I try?
Yeah, I think not, young man. Likely pluck your own eye out with it. Well, then you look even more like your father.
They continued on their way until the sun started sinking beyond the snow-capped peaks away to their right.
Dad?
Yeah?
I was with Rona once at some frontier pest hole where they were showing some old vids. Real triple old and flickery black and white. There were these two pre-dark comics. One was real fat and the other was real thin. There was no sound with it, no talking at all. Only they had to deliver a piano like this one up this triple steep flight of steps. And it kept breaking away and clattering all the way down again. They had funny kind of round hats on. Hot pipe. It was one of the funniest things I think I ever saw. Rona laughed a lot at it as well.
Don't know anything about that one. Have to ask Doc or Mildred.
I'll have to wait a long time to ask him, won't I, Dad? Real long time.
Yeah, but I reckon there might be one of the teachers up at the Brody School that'll know the answer.
Will they know everything, Dad?
Most everything that's worth knowing.
When will we get there?
I don't know, precisely. We had to get around that landslip an hour back. Slowed us down some. Lemuel, when do we get close to the school?
Tomorrow evening, we'll make good progress. Next morning, if we get slowed again.
The sun had vanished, and a cold norther had sprung up, bringing a dusting of snow for a half hour. Lemuel had unharnessed the mules, helped by Ryan and Dean. Apart from carrying the piano, Lemuel was also well-stocked with general supplies, including ample food for the three of them. They sat around a crackling fire at the edge of a huge and impenetrable forest to the west of the trail, by a narrow stream that raced into a deep beaver pool. There had been a skillet brimming with fatback and beans, 2 loaves of fresh-baked bread, and some bottles of locally brewed beer.
Better than that food at Mutt.
Dean had caught the sudden turn of the head and angry glare of warning from his father. He realized that he'd been about to reveal the unsavory fact that they'd been eating in Ma's place around the time that the eatery went up in flames.
Better than what, young fella?
Better than lots of food I've eaten in lots of other places.
Me too.
Glad to hear it. Anyway, it's about time we got ready for the night. There's some gray blankets in the back of the wagon. Best all sleep under the bed of the wagon. And I got some drinking whiskey to help get off good and sound. Either you want some?
No, thanks. Boy's a little too young for it. You don't think we should post a guard?
Why?
There was talk back in the Ville of some serious trouble with a gang of killers up around Harmony. This fire can probably be seen for 20 miles or more.
Lemuel considered it, rubbing at the side of his nose, where a ragged scar showed that someone had once tried to break a bottle in his eye, and narrowly missed.
No. Fire's still bright enough to keep off most predators. Bears and wolves likely won't risk it. Anyways, mules are good guard dogs. Near as good as geese. Nobody and nothing will get close to harm us. We can all get to sleep with quiet minds and restful hearts.
Lemuel uncorked the bottle of whiskey.
Here's to you.
Within a quarter hour, a 10-cent moon started rising in a duller sky, glinting through ragged tendrils of high cloud. The three of them lay under the wagon with gray blankets. The liquor had done its stuff. Lemuel was out.
Dad, did you love Mother?
Did I love your mother? Did I really love Sharona? Is that your question, Dean?
It wasn't the first time the boy had asked, and his insecurity tugged at Ryan's heart.
Yeah. I know you and her didn't have too much quality time with each other. The fighting kept you apart after you got married in that chapel in the valley.
In fact, love and marriage hadn't had very much to do with it. She had been the wife of a particularly evil baron, and Ryan had literally only spent a few hours in her company. During a half dozen minutes of those few hours, 12 years ago now, he had coupled with her, not made love. It had been more like a pair of wildcats rending at each other's flesh. In all of Ryan's many sexual encounters since his early teens, there had never been one so powerful and revolting and memorable as his time with Sharona Carson.
Well, did you really love her, Dad?
Ryan was lying on his back between the rear wheels of the wag, looking up through the spokes at the star-spangled velvet of the Colorado sky.
So many bridges crossed since then, son.
Does that mean you didn't love her after all?
No, doesn't mean that. I was just thinking back over the long years when I didn't know you existed. I thought that Sharona was likely long dead.
Lost years, Dad.
At that moment, Ryan came suddenly to the brink of abandoning his plans for his son's education. He regretted all the wasted time when he and Sharona and the boy had been roaming Deathlands, their paths never crossing. It was almost 4 years since she died of rad sickness, trusting a friend to track down Ryan and deliver the boy up to him.
Yeah. As far as your mother goes, Dean, I did love her at the time.
Much as you love Christy?
No, I can't lie to you about that. Christy's special.
Dean smiled at his father, his teeth white in the moonlight.
I knew that before I asked you, Dad. But I'm real glad that you love Rona. It means a lot to me.
I know. You best get to sleep. It could be a long day tomorrow.
Yeah, guess so. Good night, Dad.
Good night, son.
Yeah! They passed the ruined side of the township of Basalt around 10 in the morning, heading steeply up an even more narrow and dangerous trail, some of the time traveling alongside what Lemuel told them was the Frying Pan River.
Leads up toward Turkey Lake.
You wouldn't see many turkeys at this height.
Oh, you got me there, Outlander. Turkey comes from the water, being kind of a mix of blue and green. A good reader and writer said that this was something to do with the turkey. And name stayed ever since the long winters.
Blue and green? Fireblast. It was called Turquoise Lake, not Turkey. Turquoise. A mix of blue and green.
They were making good time. The higher they climbed, the colder it became, and the more they could see the tens of thousands of acres of virgin forest stretching below them.
Think we're going faster than if we'd been walking, Dad?
For sure we are.
You looking forward to seeing Harmony, Dad?
Well, Christy never talked much about it. Some about her mother, Sonia, who taught her how to use the special earth power of Gaia. But she often mentioned her uncle, Tyus McCann. Not much else beside that.
Air tastes good up here.
Should be healthy for you. And there's not been too much pre-dark rad sickness or bad hotspots in the high mountain country of the Rockies. Most of the nuking around here was short-term, Ground Zero stuff.
Look, there's a moose! Use the styre and kill it, Dad! Good roasting meat for tonight if we haven't reached school. Come on, quick, before it reaches that grove of larches!
Ryan reached instinctively for the rifle, slung across his shoulder, then checked himself. He watched the big animal lope across the bracken.
Nah, we got plenty of food. Never kill for the sake of it or the fun of it. Yeah!
By noon, they'd reached a point where the trail had been cut across the face of a steep cliff, where the old road had been carved away by an ancient landslip. They had bare rock to their left, and a drop of a couple hundred feet to a hanging valley below them on the right side of the wag. Dean peered doubtfully over the side of the wag.
This trail's only wide enough for one wag. What happens? We need another wag coming down.
Just hope he's smaller than us. No, there's a few spaces cut out of the rock for passing. No problem.
Be a good place for an ambush. Get much trouble like that on this trail?
Not much. Way back in the old days, there was still some mining up here. It used to be big trains with oxen or mules. They used to get whacked so often they carried up 20 shotguns with them. But that was then.
And this is now.
Yeah, this is now.
Hands away from those blasters, amigos.
The voice came from somewhere behind a tumbled mass of rock that broke down into loose scree. Regardless of the warning, Dean drew his gun, looking around for a target.
Kid wants to see another birthing day. He'd best holster that cannon.
Put it away like the man says, Dean. Got us cold cocked for a moment.
Lemuel scanned the area, trying to figure out if the ambusher was alone.
Let's all see if you can stretch right up and scratch them clouds, amigos.
Ryan eased his position a little, giving himself easier access to his Sig Sauer and the Ponca. He raised his hands above his head, his face poker still. Lemuel hitched the reins around the big brake handle, then slowly put up his hands.
And the kid.
Put them up, Dean. And keep Triple Red ready.
The boy finally, grudgingly, lifted both his hands to shoulder height.
That's good.
Got company. Best sit quiet until we get a chance at the fuckers.
Ryan agreed with Lemuel. The man who covered them with a rifle still hadn't shown himself, not taking any unnecessary risks. Two of them appeared leading a spare horse, presumably for the rifleman. Ryan studied them carefully, trying to gauge the quality of the opposition. That had been one of the first things the trader had ever taught him. One man was short, one-armed, and wore a wide-brimmed sombrero trimmed with silver conches. He held a Harrington & Richardson 32 caliber revolver with wooden grips and a blued finish in his only hand. He had a hunting rifle slung over his shoulder. Sitting on a pinto pony, he looked relaxed. His companion looked to be of mixed blood, wearing cotton shirt and pants like an Apache. He rode a bay mare, barebacked, and seemed of average height. Like his partner, he appeared to be in his mid to late teens. He, too, had a rifle on his back and casually held a little vest pocket Walther Model 9 in his left hand, the six-round, tiny 25 caliber gun looking like a child's toy.
It's okay, Joey boy. Got him colder than Thanksgiving turkey. Reckon they seem like real sensible folks. Not looking for trouble.
The third man finally revealed himself, precisely where Ryan had located him. He was a good 10 years older than the other two, with a stubbled beard and slitted blue eyes. He wore a checked shirt and jeans. The rifle was a Winchester bolt-action type. He slid down over the scree, his eyes never leaving the three people in the rig. Once he reached the trail, he walked toward them, pausing near the lead mule.
You You heading for Leadville, Skinner?
Could be.
Damnation! How long's that coat been dead? Takes a man's breath away.
What's he carrying, Joey?
Yeah. What are you carrying, Skinner? Apart from a kid and a one-eyed crip.
Piano.
Well, now. I reckon there's a few saloons, gaudies, and drinkers within 50 miles of here that might pay a few handfuls of prime jack to have them a real pre-dark piano. It is pre-dark, ain't it, Skinner?
I put my hands down, I got bad cramps in my shoulders from the cold. You got 3 blasters on us.
Sure, Skinner. You two can relax some, too. No harm's coming to any of you if you don't get triple stoop. But we'll likely take the rig, Skinner.
Ryan lowered his hands, letting them settle comfortably in his lap, inches away from the butt of the 6-hour. Dean did the same. The sides of the wag were high enough for Ryan to feel fairly sure that they hadn't seen his own handgun, but assumed he just carried the Steyr.
Do I get the wag back when you're finished with it?
Lemuel's right hand fondled the stock of the long whip.
Yeah, sure you do. We'll arrange that in a while. Now you'd best get down off the wag.
Every one of the 6 people on the trail knew that the bandit was lying. Ryan had seen the half-turn of the head and the nod to his companions. Life for the trio of prisoners was now something to be measured in minutes, maybe seconds. The bandits would open up as soon as the 3 of them were clear of the rig, so that the shooting wouldn't harm the valuable piano.
Ready.
Lemuel pointed with his left hand farther up the trail, past the 3 robbers.
Maybe those fellas over there might say something about losing their piano.
All of them turned to look, taking their attention away for a vital half second. Lemuel had picked Joey with the rifle as the danger man. The steel tip of the lash had caught him a fraction below the right eye, slicing open a fold of his cheek as neat and deep as a straight-edge razor. Ryan drew the 6-hour, leveling it at the bandit with the Harrington and Richardson, reasoning that the bigger gun was the bigger threat. At less than 40 feet, it was a safe enough shot.
Damn it!
Ryan's shot had caught the Pinto Pony through the top of its head, above the eyes, so that the skull exploded into the man's face, spattering him with blood, brains, and splinters of bone. The ambusher went down with the horse, trapped by its legs. The mule's reins had fallen to the dirt, and the wag began to slew toward the sheer drop into the canyon on the right. The 3rd of the robbers fought for control over his horse as he held out his little automatic. One of the 25 caliber Walther rounds hit Lemuel through the throat, above the collar of his coat. The smell of the raw blood spooked the mules even more, and they bolted. One of the lead mules caught Joey with its shoulder, and he went down. The front wheels of the loaded wag rolled over his stomach and thighs. Dean fired twice at the man on the bay mare, but missed.
We're going over, Dad!
Ryan realized that the boy was right. The mules were off and running, but the reins had snagged, dragging them inexorably toward the drop on the right. They were within 15 feet of the last upright bandit, who was now urging his mare out of the way of the charging mules. Ryan balanced himself against the rocking of the rig and took aim.
Dad, my foot's caught!
Then the rig began to tilt, seeming to hang sickeningly on the edge of the sighing space for an eternity, before the terrified team pulled it right off the trail.